Many of you know that we're on this year-long journey that we're calling the story of God's love. And a couple of weeks ago, we finished the first leg of that journey that was all about beginnings and setting the stage for everything that was to come in Genesis 1 through 11. And then last week, we began the second leg of the journey that I'm calling invitation, because God centers the story down on one man and invites him in to his salvation story. And his name is Abram. We call him Abraham later on in the story. And through Abraham, we too are invited into the story of God's love. We saw how 2,000 years after Abram lived, that Paul talked about how he was blessed through Abram, and we all are blessed through Abram. So he got all these incredible promises from God, and then we are the recipients in many ways of those promises. And we want to continue in that today. But before we get to the story of Abram, I'd like to ask a simple question. Have you ever had trouble trusting God? I mean, something was going on in your life and you were really had some difficulty turning that problem over to God and allowing him to handle it. I mean, this can happen for all kinds of reasons. We might face sickness in our own life, sickness of the life in the life of someone we love, and we're praying about that. We're asking God to intervene, and for some reason, he doesn't, at least not in the timeline that we have. And so we wonder, God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to act? When are you going to do something to help me in the midst of that? Or maybe we're dealing with some kind of financial problem or a family problem. There's sort of friction between people and we can't seem to deal with it. And we're praying to God to heal that relationship. And so far, it's not been healed. And we're wondering, God, do you care? Do you see this? Are you going to do anything about it? And so we have trouble trusting, allowing God to deal with the most important things in our lives. Now, the truth is, trust can be hard, right? It can be hard with other people. If you don't believe that, teach someone to drive, okay? When you move from the driver's seat to the passenger seat and give up control of all that stuff that makes the car go, you will learn about trust. Even if it's the most trustworthy person you know, it's still hard to trust that person. We all struggle with that a little bit in different areas of our lives. I mean, things that matter to us. For many of us guys, like allowing some other human being to mow our grass, that's a hard thing because we know how it should be done and they clearly do not, right? So different areas of life, trust becomes difficult. And even when we're talking about God, trust can be difficult. And I think there's a story that we find about Abram that teaches us some important things about this process of trusting God. And we find this story like immediately after the story we talked about last week. So God calls Abram from his home in Haran and says, listen, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your father's house and go to a land that I'll show you. I'm not going to tell you where it is now. All you got to do is follow. And scripture says, and Abram went. And he did. He followed God. He gave all that up, all his security, everything that mattered, and followed God to the land of Canaan. And God said, this is the land I'm going to give you. And there Abram worshiped. So what happens next? Well, what we find is that in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 10, we have sort of a second story in the life of Abram. And it begins with this. And there was a famine in the land. Now, that was not really uncommon, and in fact, we see that happens many times in Scripture, and we know it happened from history. Archaeologists will tell us that there was a 300-year span where there were famines just on and off all the way through that span, and Abram's life is sort of right in the middle of that span, that 300 years. So there were famines going on in the land at that time. And to survive, because there's no food, I mean, it's a very fragile climate. If it's a little too warm, a little too cool, a little too much water, a little less than there should be, and then suddenly crops don't grow, especially without the things that we have today. So it was a real struggle at times. So Abram did what a lot of people did to survive. He went to the land of Egypt. Now, I think for some of us, that sounds a little counterintuitive, right? Because I don't know about you, but when I think of Egypt, like what immediately comes to my mind is sand, like lots and lots of sand, desert. That's what's in my head when I think of Egypt. But there's one place, and you can see it in the satellite image. So the Nile River, right, runs right through Egypt, and then the Nile Delta spreads out as the river flows into the Mediterranean, and along the Nile then and now, it's green. Why? Well, because that river floods and it waters the land, all right? And because of that, they can grow crops there in places they can't grow anywhere around there. So Egypt was known in the ancient world, both the time of Abram, the time of Jesus, as a breadbasket. That's where you could go to get food, and it fed a lot of the area around the eastern Mediterranean. So this was a very common thing. Abram said, well, the only place we can go to survive is Egypt. So he took all his servants, all his animals, his wife, and they went to Egypt to survive during this famine. But along the way, and remember, they're walking or riding animals, it's a long journey, he's got time to think. He thinks about a problem that he might encounter when he gets to Egypt. But he's been thinking a good bit. He's got a solution to the problem as well. But it's a little awkward to talk to his wife about. So this is how he does it. We find this in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. It says, as he, Abram, was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Abram was no dummy, right? He knows how to start a conversation with his wife, all right? I know how beautiful you are. He says to his wife, who is now eligible for both Social Security and Medicare, okay? They are not young at this point. So he's got a plan, but I think that's the last smart thing that Abram says for the rest of the story, okay? That's the only good thing he says. Verse 12, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Well, yeah, okay. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. You're such an incredible woman that they're going to kill me so that somebody in Egypt can marry you. Now, it seems a little bit of a strange thing that just anybody who walks into Egypt, they're going to kill the husband so they can marry the wife. He's not afraid of that when he goes to Canaan, okay? He doesn't seem to fear that at all, but going into Egypt, he does. And as we read that, we want to say to Abram, do you remember what just happened, right? God said, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go. And Abram went. And in fact, God had made some promises to Abram. Remember, it's just the story right before this. Same chapter, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Has Abram forgotten all that? Has Abram forgotten this line, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse? And God just said that. God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. He doesn't even have a son at this point. How could he be a great nation? Clearly, God has more in store. God has promised much more to Abram, but his fear and his doubt have taken hold of him. I am sure that he's not somehow forgotten all that happens. He knows why he's there, but he is doubting that God will keep his promises. And because he's doubting God's promises, he makes some stupid decisions in this story. Because here's his plan to deal with the fear that he has that they're going to kill him. Verse 13, say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but if this is the solution to a problem, I'm going to think a little bit harder than that, okay? They're going to walk into town and say, no, I know it looks like we're married, but we're actually brother and sister. And the truth is, it's the ancient world, folks, they were half brother and half sister. So there's a grain of truth, But they're leaving out a pretty important fact here. And it seems the setup for some real problems. But what's the worst that could happen? Well, verse 14, when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. So apparently he was right when he said that, okay? And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. Now, what that means is she became part of the king's harem. She is one of his at least secondary wives, concubines, one of his women, okay? So she's in the household of Pharaoh. That is not okay, right? This is clearly a sin. And yet, Abram thinks it's the answer to his problems. And in fact, for a while, it seems like, hey, this is working out well, except for the fact that his wife is with another man. It makes him wealthy because Pharaoh sort of sees him as an important person too, because now he's a brother to one of his wives, and so Abram becomes rich through all of this. But things go south pretty fast. Verse 17, but the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go. Well, I don't know how somehow Pharaoh or someone around him knew that Sarai was Abram's wife. We're not told. I mean, they would assume if everybody in the king's household gets sick that there's a God who's angry with them. And in fact, God did make this happen. So we don't know if somebody in the household, God sort of spoke to them. These are not people who follow God, but God informed them some way. We just don't know. But what we do know is Pharaoh figured it out. And then he's mad. And Abram is fortunate that the worst thing that happens is they send him and his wife and his household away. I mean, he's made a dumb decision and it's led to all kinds of problems. And the damage that had to have been done to their relationship, I can't even imagine. So, what do we learn from this story? What do we learn from Abram and this incredible lack of faith from a man who seems to be a hero of faith? Well, I'd put it this way. The best decisions are made are the result of trusting in God. And we could turn that on its head and say it sort of the opposite way. Some of the worst decisions that we make are made when we doubt God. I mean, Abram knows exactly what God's promised. I'll make you into a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you. People that you bless, I'm going to bless. I'll curse those who curse you, and I'm going to give you this land. God had to keep Abram alive for all of those things to happen. But Abram chooses to believe that God is not going to keep his promises, that his fear is greater than his faith. And so he acts on his fear and makes a stupid decision. And most of us have probably done some of that before too. But we make our best decisions when we trust in God. Now, I think there's some things that grow out of this that we need to think about as well. And one of them is how we're going to look at the rest of the stories for this year. How we approach biblical stories. Sometimes we sort of think that Bible stories are there to teach us a moral lesson. Like these are heroes of faith and we should just be like them. Well, the truth is, when we look at virtually every person that shows up in Scripture except Jesus, who is labeled as a person of great faith, they do some really incredible things because they put their trust in God. And they also do some really stupid things because they're like us, right? I mean, there are times when we feel really strong and firm in our relationship with God and we stretch ourselves and our faith grows and we act in a way that shows that faith. And there are some times when we allow our fear and our doubt to take hold of us and we make dumb decisions. because we're not acting in faith. Our best decisions result from trusting God. And these stories are not just about holding up people and saying, you got to be just like this person. These stories are about telling the story of God's love. And sometimes we'll learn from these stories and say, wow, that is an amazing thing that this person has done. And sometimes we'll look in these stories and say, wow, that was stupid. Isn't it amazing that God used this guy even though he was so messed up? And there's good news in that because we're messed up too. And God still loves us, and he still uses us. But I think there's some other lessons that we get to as well here. And that the first of those is that we've got to know what God's promises are, so we need to study God's promises. We need to think about, what does the Bible actually say God will do? And sometimes we sort of think God promises some things that just don't show up in Scripture. Like, God never says, I'm going to make your life easy. I'm going to solve all the problems that you've got for you. Now, in fact, if we look at the story of the early church, and if some of those early Christians could stand here with us and say, how does that work? They would tell us, well, you know, following Jesus meant I faced persecution. Following Jesus meant that I lost my life, or someone I love lost his or her life. Following Jesus is not always easy. God doesn't always just magically take our struggles away from us. So what does God promise? Well, what I know is that in Scripture, we're promised that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we can be forgiven of our sins. We can be confident that whatever we've done, it can be forgiven. And because of that, that we can trust that we'll have eternal life because we can be in the presence of God in that forgiven state. And so we have something to look forward to. We are a people of hope because of who Jesus is. God's promised us that. God has promised us his incredible love for us. So regardless of what happens in this life, good things, bad things, sickness, health, grief, death, whatever comes our way, we can be confident that God loves us. That is the theme of this story, right? The story of God's love. Nothing separates us from God's love. Even as we face death itself, our own deaths, God loves us even in that. And God promises his presence. He says, I'm with you always to the very end. Whatever's coming our way, we are not facing it alone. God is always present with us. And we are promised the strength that only comes from God. That yes, life is going to be hard. It just is. We all know that. We've been there. We understand it. There's no denying that. And yet, we receive the strength that only comes from a God who can overcome all the things that we face. That's the kind of God we have. And so when we put our trust in that God, we make good decisions. And it also teaches us that we can trust that God keeps his promises. Those are the things God has said he'll do. He'll love us. He'll give us strength. He'll be present with us. He'll forgive our sins. We look forward to eternal life. And God is going to keep those promises. God made really clear promises to Abram. There's nothing vague about that. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'm going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. I'm going to give you this land. These things are very real. And Abram made the bad decision because he had decided he wasn't sure God was going to keep the promises. If he had stayed faithful in those promises, it's clear God's going to keep him alive. But he doubted that, and it got him in trouble. And when we keep our faith in this truth that God keeps his promises, we'll be in the right place. We'll be the people that God has called us to be. We'll be people whose faith is growing, who make good decisions, who look to eternity, not just what's happening in front of me, and who know God keeps his promises. God loves every single one of us, as individuals and as a group. And he is faithful to those promises and will be faithful to the end. And if we trust them, we will make good decisions. Let's pray together. God, grow our faith. Help us to study what we know is true and to learn your promises so that we can trust them. God, help us to be a people who make good decisions because we're putting our trust in you. And God, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to continue to worship.